All right. Well, thankful for the mercy tree of the cross of Jesus Christ as a place where people can find mercy. Because we're a people that need mercy. What kind of people need mercy? Sinful people, right? And that's where we get it, and thankful for it. Well, go ahead and turn your Bible to Proverbs 19, if you would. Proverbs 19. Because of the family meeting, I'm going to be abbreviating my message tonight, but I did want to share with you some things from God's Word, and I'm going to try to finish up what I didn't cover last week on my message in this path of God's will. We're talking about the final point in this outline here, how to walk in the path of God's will, how to walk in that path of God's light and blessings in our lives. And we've been learning that if we want to have the blessings of God, the light of God upon our path, if we want to walk in the path of the just that leads more and more into the perfect day, then we need to walk away from darkness. We need to walk away from the darkness of sin and sinners. We need to walk away from the darkness of error, ignorance, and foolish thinking. And then we need to walk in the light sources that God has given to us. He's given us five different light sources. Ultimately, they all come from Him, but five different ways that the light of God is shined upon our path one step at a time. It comes from parental instruction, God's Word, His personal presence, personal integrity as He forms His Word within us. And then finally, there is the light of godly counsel. And that's the point we're talking about in this part of our series. I have several messages on this. It's a very important point. If you want to walk in the path of God's will, walk in the light of godly counsel. And so here we are in Proverbs 19, verse number 20. You've got it there in your Bible. You can see it on the screen as well. But this is our key verse for this point in our outline. Hear counsel and receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. Latter end is the end of the road. That's the end of the journey. That's where you're headed in your life. So if you want to have wisdom, when you get to the end of the road, you need to learn the wisdom somewhere along the way. And one way you get that wisdom is by hearing the counsel of others. We all have a need for that kind of wisdom of godly counsel. But if we're going to acquire wisdom, we have to have hearing ears. We have to have hearing hearts, teachable, receptive hearts, so that we can not just listen to it, but we can take it to heart and we can benefit from it. And so here are the three points that we're talking about right now, this path of godly counsel. This is our outline for this point. So first of all, we're talking about the function of godly counsel. Second, the acquisition of godly counsel. And third, the rejection of godly counsel. And last time, I left off halfway through point number one, the three functions of godly counsel. So let me just review that with you. Why do we need godly counsel? What does it do for us? Three functions. Its first purpose in our lives as believers is to enhance our wisdom. Because no matter how wise we may be, we can always use more wisdom. It doesn't matter if you have wisdom already or not. We always can use more. And so if we want to be wise, if we want to be successful, if we want to be safe, we need to seek out wisdom. It will enhance our wisdom if we seek it in the form of godly counsel. And that was a point we covered last time. But let me just review with you, if I could, these two principles of God's will that we learned from that first point. Okay, so two principles of knowing God's will. Number 31, when contemplating a significant decision, be humble enough to seek wise input from mature believers. Don't think that you know it all already. Don't think that you don't have anything to learn, that you've arrived, that you don't need to listen to anybody else. Rather, recognize your need to enhance your wisdom. And so seek wisdom from the accumulated wisdom of others. Seek out wise input from mature believers. And then number 32, don't make your godly counselors chase you down, but rather seek them out of your own accord. A wise person seeks knowledge and instruction on his or her own initiative. A wise person doesn't require people to hit him or hit her over the head with godly instruction. You know, whether you want it or not, you know, it's coming your way. No, a wise person makes an effort, a personal effort, to seek it out and to benefit from the godly, the wise counselors that God has put into that person's life. So that's the first purpose, the first function of godly counsel, to enhance wisdom. Now let's go to number two. The second function of godly counsel is to establish purposes. To establish purposes. Because even when you're headed in the right direction, godly counsel serves to make a good plan better. It makes a good plan better, and in so doing can ensure your ultimate success. Proverbs has a good bit to say about this point. Proverbs 15:22 says, without counsel, purposes are disappointed. That means you might have had a good idea, you might have had a good plan, but if you don't get some good counsel, you may fail. Purposes may be disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. That word established means to build something on a firm foundation. That is a description of success. The word disappointed, on the other hand, means to be broken. So that's a description of failure. So success or failure may rise or fall upon your access of good counsel. So the idea is maybe you have a plan. And maybe it's even a good plan. Maybe it's even in the will of God. But if you want to succeed, don't rely on your planning alone. Seek a multitude of counselors. Because you might have overlooked something that is critical to your success. You might not know something that you really need to know. So you need the combined wisdom of a multitude of wise people to succeed. An important role of your godly counselors is to make sure that your plan can be carried through to completion and that it will stand the test of time. So for example, that you want to build a house or some other kind of structure. You know, if you're going to build a house, build a building of any kind, that's typically not a one-man show. Let's just take, for example, church building projects. I have a little bit of experience with church building projects. I don't really like church building projects. Seems like every 10 years I get into one and then I say, I'm never doing that again, and then I get into one 10 years later. Let's just take church building projects, for example. We did a building project here in our church, about 2016, 2017, that time frame when we put the addition on the back and the elevator, the nursery expansion, all of that. That was a pretty complicated building project. It was a small but complicated one. So that building project was complicated. It requires lots of planning, lots of attention to detail. And so to succeed, we had to depend on the input of a multitude of wise people and godly counselors. So who were some of the people that were involved in making that plan a success? Well, we had an architect, we had engineers, we had contractors, we had suppliers, we had builders, we had trustees, we had deacons, we had pastors, we had the church staff, we had the whole congregation. We were all involved to some degree. So if we want to do it right, then we need to seek God's wisdom and direction every step of the way. Our purpose to build a building, that was a good purpose. That was a good idea. That was a good plan. It was worthwhile in the will of God. It's been a blessing to us in many ways. But to establish that purpose, we needed a multitude of counselors. And so this is a verse that God led me to when we were doing that building project. Proverbs chapter 24, verses 3 through 6. It says, through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established, and by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increases strength. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in multitude of counselors there is safety. So when I was praying about and contemplating that building project back in 2017, God impressed upon my heart from this passage that if we wanted to put on a building addition, then we needed to depend upon the cumulative wisdom of the leadership that God had given to our church. He also laid upon my heart that I could trust God to work through the wise counsel of His people. See, these verses here says that it takes wisdom to build a building or accomplish any other purpose of significance. And so I, as a pastor, would be foolish to rely on my wisdom alone. But on the other hand, there would be safety in relying upon a multitude of counselors. That's how I like to approach all big decisions for our church. You know, I've taught this before in our church, but I believe the process of walking in God's wisdom and His will as a church is a process of seeking the mind of Christ for His church. How do you find the one mind of Christ for His church? I think there's a two-step process. I get it from the book of Acts, but I think, first of all, the leadership discerns God's will. That's the role of leaders. They are to be leading the way, setting the pace. So they should be discerning God's will. And then secondly, the congregation confirms God's will. So that is a two-step process that we follow in how we do business. The process of discerning God's will at the leadership level is not a simple majority vote. You know, and I don't gather our leaders together and say, hey guys, what do you think we ought to do? And we have, you know, four in favor and three against. And so we had four, you know, four is more than three, so we're moving ahead. That's not really how I like to make decisions at the leadership level. I like us to have unity. Unity might be unanimity, which is great. Or it might be a different kind of unity where some decide that they would like to defer to others. That's how you practice the mind of Christ. And so this is a process that you have to go through. It's a spiritual process. It can require us to slow down, take time, to consider different viewpoints and concerns. But from my experience, the end result is always better than if we just rushed ahead. So often I've learned greater wisdom from talking to just one man who brought his own unique perspective to our decision-making process. See, that's what this passage, I think, is talking about. If you want to succeed in establishing your purposes, then rely upon a multitude of wise counselors. A wise man increases his strength by depending upon the strength of others. So that's the second function of godly counsel. It is to establish purposes. And then there's one more, to ensure safety. To ensure safety. That's also mentioned in the last part of that passage in Proverbs chapter 24, verse number 6. Look at it again. It says, "For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in multitude of counselors there is safety." You know, that's a good word, isn't it? Safety. Isn't that a good word? Well, some of you think it's a good word. How about danger? Is that a good word, you know? Peril. You're risking your life. Oh, that sounds great, doesn't it? No, it doesn't sound good at all. Safety is the opposite of all that. Safety is a wonderful word. When you put your head on your pillow at night, do you want to be safe? Amen. When you're driving down the road, do you want to be safe? Absolutely. We all want safety. So if you want to stay in a place of safety, if you want to walk on the center line of God's will, not stray and fall into the ditch on the right hand or to the left, walk in the counsel of a multitude of godly counselors. You can't go wrong seeking the wise consensus of wise people regarding what you want to do. And if they are all in agreement, you can find a greater assurance that you are doing the right thing. That you are, in fact, in the center of God's will. That you are exactly where God wants you to be, doing exactly what He wants you to do. If He brings those people that God has put into your life to be your counselors, if He's bringing them all onto that same page, if they are confirming that direction, if they are encouraging you forward, then you should find great safety in taking those steps forward in the light that God is shining upon your path through a multitude of counselors. On the other hand, if those people that God has brought into your life are voicing strong concerns or objections, if they're pulling out their Bible and they're saying to you, well, the Bible says you shouldn't be doing that, you should be doing something else. If they are saying, no, don't go that way, that is not the will of God, that is not the way of God, you are not thinking about this correctly, you need to stop, you need to reconsider, you need to go a different direction. If they're not on the page, that's a red flag that you really ought to pay attention to. If you're in the will of God and you have some godly counselors in your life, it's not hard for God to get those people on that page. And if they're not on that page, if they are, you know, I've expressed this before, I think, but there are some things people ask me about. You know what? It's just a matter of opinion. You know, my opinion isn't any better than anybody else's opinion. They want my opinion. You know, should you buy, should you buy Nikes or Reeboks? I mean, I'll give you my opinion on that, but that's really up to you, okay? And, you know, it's not a matter of right and wrong. So sometimes people ask me those kinds of things. I don't want to make, you know, I don't want to make everybody's decision for them. But then there are other times people come to me and they ask me about things that are really important. Things that I can pull out the Bible and say, you know what, this is what God's Word says, and this is the place, this is the path of safety. You need to stay on the center line of the road of righteousness. Don't turn aside to the left hand or to the right. Those are places of danger. Those are ditches on either side of the road that you want to stay out of. If God is bringing red flags into your decision-making process because the wise people that God has put in your life are raising up red flags, if they're trying to shine the red, you know, stop signal lights, you know, like on a railroad, you know, they have these lights that say, you know, train needs to stop, don't keep on going. I mean, if you're getting those signal lights, red signal lights, you know, stop signs, stop lights, then you shouldn't just, you know, I'm pressing ahead because that's what I want to do. That's not the path of wisdom. And that's not a place of safety. What happens if you run a red light? Is it safe to run a red light? No, it's not. So I have one more principle of God's will that I want to share with you for tonight, and then we'll be done. Value and heed the counsel of people whose first concern is for your safety. Value and heed the counsel of people whose first concern is for your safety. The role of a godly counselor is not to tell you how close you can walk to the edge of the cliff or the line of sin without crossing the line. The role of a godly counsel in your life is to encourage you to stay as far away from sin as you can. Stay away from those ditches. Stay away from those pitfalls. Stay away from those dark places of deception and destruction. Don't go anywhere near those places. So when you're seeking wise input about your goals and plans, don't go to the people who will tell you whatever you want to hear, like Rehoboam did. Remember that? We talked about that last time. Don't do a Rehoboam. Don't go to the people who will tell you what you want to hear. Go to the people who care about you enough to tell you what you need to hear and will even warn you about the possible dangers that are on the road ahead of you if you proceed in that direction. I didn't put this verse on the slide, but there's a verse in Proverbs that's repeated twice. The prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Why are they punished? Because they didn't listen to the warning signs, the red lights, the signal flags, the red flags being hoisted up by the counselors that God put into their lives to keep them safe. Listen to what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. He said, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision." All right, so what did Paul say in those verses? He gave them three great big warning signs. Beware, beware, beware. You ever seen one of those signs? Beware of dog. How many seen one of those? Do you pay attention to those? I do. You know why I pay attention to those? I'm a former pizza delivery guy. I remember one time in Savannah, Georgia, I was out delivering pizzas. I drove up to a house. I'd never delivered there before. It was a nice house. They had a big yard. It was totally fenced in. I always get nervous when I have to go through a gate to get to the front door. Why is this place totally fenced in? Usually because there's a dog. Now, I don't remember if there was a beware of dog sign there or not. I think there might have been. I can't really remember for sure. But I remember my standard operating procedure. Number one, rattle the gate really loud. Because if there is a dog, it's probably going to come and check you out, you know. And you're not inside yet. So, you know, rattle the gate really loud. So I did that. Rattle the gate really loud. Nothing happened. Well, and I'm being paid on commission, so I got to get these pizzas delivered as fast as possible. So I open the gate. Step two, leave gate open behind you in case you have to beat a quick exit. All right, so I left the gate open. I'm starting to walk up toward the door. I'm halfway across the yard, and two very large dogs come around the corner of the house. I've got pizzas in my hand. You know what pizzas smell like to dogs? Fresh meat. That's what they smell like. Yeah. So, and these dogs didn't bark. They just walked up to me. One stood here, and one stood here, really close to me. And they looked at me, and I'm holding the pizzas up like this. And they're looking at me, they're looking at my pizzas, and I'm looking at them, and I'm not moving. I am now the Statue of Liberty. In that yard. And we stood there for a while until finally their owner came around from the backyard, called off the dogs. I delivered my pizzas, I was paid, and I left. I pay attention to signs that say, beware of dog. Now, Paul here gives them three warning signs. Beware of dogs. Is he talking about your next door neighbor's Fido? No, he's talking about a certain kind of people. Dangerous people. The word dogs refers to predatory people. These are wolves in sheep's clothing. He says, beware of evil workers. He's talking there about false teachers. All three of these are descriptions of false teachers. The dogs describe their predatory nature, that they eat sheep, okay? The evil workers describes the fact that they are money motivated, that they're out just for their own personal profit and gain. And the concision describes their false teaching, that they're actually teaching doctrine contrary to Christ. He says, hey, beware of these people. And why does he say that? Is it because they never heard it before? Is this the first time Paul said, hey, beware of false teachers, beware of these people because they're out to consume you. They want to eat you for lunch. They're dogs. They'll eat you. They want to consume you. No, this wasn't the first time he'd ever warned them about that. That's why he says, to write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. He says, you've heard this from me before, but guess what? I'm going to say it again. Why? Because I want you to be safe. I want to keep you safe. I want you to be protected from the dangers of dangerous people. Stay away from them. Beware. Don't go in that direction. Paul did not hesitate to warn them again and again and again about the dangers they were facing. Why? Because he loved those people. And he was concerned first and foremost for the safety of the sheep that were under his care. You know, that is the job of every pastor. That is the job of every godly counselor. Not to tell you what you want to hear so you can do what you want to do, but to tell you what is safe. So if you have some people in your life who are giving you counsel because they love you, they care for you, and they want you to be safe, you ought to value that counsel very highly. Don't be like Rehoboam, who went running to the people. He rejected the counsel of the men who wanted to keep him safe. And he went running to the people who would tell him that he could do what he wanted to do. And what happened as a result? Rehoboam crashed and burned. He was a failure because he did not pay heed to the wise, godly counsel that he had available to him. Well, I'm going to say more next time about godly counsel. I got two more points in the outline. Let me just ask you, though, tonight, when you're facing a significant decision, is it your standard practice to seek out the godly counsel of wise people? as a last step in determining and doing God's perfect will. I mean, you've read your Bible, you've prayed, you've discerned what you believe God is opening a door, and now it's time to get that confirmatory counsel. Are you practicing that? Are you humble enough to really hear wise instruction and take it to heart? Do you take it upon yourself to go to the wise before you make a big decision, or do you make them chase you down so they can impart their wisdom to you maybe after you've already made the decision and it's too late to change direction? Are you benefiting from these three functions of godly counsel to enhance your personal wisdom, establish your purposes, and ensure your safety? If you want to walk in the path of God's perfect will, you say, "Pastor, sign me up for that. I want to walk in the path of God's perfect will. I want God's perfect will for my life." If you want to walk in that path in the light that God has given to you from the five light sources that we're learning about in this series, if you want to walk on the path that shines more and more into the perfect day, then walk in the light of godly counsel. Let's bow our heads. So in a moment, we're going to close us with a song, number 324, "It is Glory Just to Walk with Him." And I don't know how God may have used His Word tonight in your life, but I want to challenge you tonight. Are you following a good process of confirming your decision-making through a multitude of wise and godly counselors? Is there a particular area where maybe you've been resisting the counsel of people who love you and care about you, and their first concern is to keep you safe? Because you really just feel like you know better and you want to do what you want to do? If so, I would encourage you to make a different choice, make a different decision. And we learned that this morning, that your first reaction, your first choice might not have been the best one, but now is time you can make a different choice. And so make a choice, a faith choice, to say, you know what, I'm going to trust God enough that if I think it's God's will, then God is going to be able to get my godly counselors on that page and encourage me forward in that direction. And if you'll follow that practice in your life, you'll find great safety in that. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would take your word tonight, use it in our hearts and lives. I pray for all the people here this evening, Lord, that these words would be encouragement and blessing to them. Help us all, I pray, to benefit from the wisdom of others that you have put into our lives. We thank you for the godly people that you've surrounded us with. We thank you, Lord, for a local church where we can find a multitude of wise and godly counselors. We're thankful that you have not left us alone, that we have to just figure all things out for ourselves, but that you have given us confirmatory means to understand whether we're seeing things subjectively or objectively in the light of the truth of your word. I pray that you would help us, Lord, in our decision-making to make decisions in accordance with the wisdom of the word. Encourage each one of these believers here tonight, Lord, where a person might be struggling this evening with an important decision. Help them, I pray, to follow the principles of your word that we've learned this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's